I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, for 2 hours. In the second hour of today's show, we will do Hump Day Health. It's Wednesday, as every Wednesday. Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. We'll focus in on one really common drug that I think I've covered it a little bit before, but some of the health consequences of that are probably unknown to people. Also, some signs that you could be deficient in certain vitamins, particularly the B vitamins. So we'll take a look at that as well. This is designed to be an empowering segment to let people control their health, reclaim their health, and escape the medical system here in the United States. So anyway, we do that every Wednesday. Today will be no exception. Going a little off the beaten path today. First, I guess I'll get through my quotes of the day today. Andrew Jackson, this was in 1834, on the closing of the Second Bank of the United States, a central bank. Andrew Jackson was known as the fighter of central banks. I am known as calling out the Death Star Federal Reserve right now, explaining to you it is destroying this country. President Andrew Jackson said in 1834, quote, "I've had men watching you for a long time, and I am convinced that you have used the funds of the bank to speculate on the breadstuffs of the country. When you won, you divided the profits amongst you. And when you lost, you charged it to the bank. You are a den of vipers and thieves." Yep, a president can take on a central bank. We had some hopes that a recent president was going to take on a central bank, and instead, he actually made them more powerful. Andrew Jackson saved us from one of these iterations, this latest one hanging on for the longest period of time, which is our current Federal Reserve, about 110 years old now, and we still haven't caught a clue. Libertarian Party, tweet out of them these days, it says, "The state is a band of criminals posing as a service provider. It robs you and your neighbors to fund its other crimes, then shamelessly claims you'd be lost without it." The state is a band of criminals posing as a service provider. It robs you and your neighbors to fund its other crimes, then shamelessly claims you'd be lost without it. Yep, I'm a libertarian. There's no doubt about it. Interesting thing to acknowledge today, I think. And I'll be honest, I was kind of looking for things to cover. There's actually been some interesting things in the news, but I'm saving them for this week on the crazy train, so I don't want to ruin them now. So I was looking for some stuff of some interest for today, and I stumbled upon it this morning when I realized today is the anniversary of Neil Armstrong's first steps on the moon. Or is it? Now, questioning the moon landing is one of the main issues that will move you into what many people consider to be the crazy conspiracy theorist camp. This is it really is. It's one of the first ones. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if we went or not, but I lean towards we didn't go for a variety of reasons. It may be 60-40. And it is something that I am wildly open to being convinced of either way. I'll talk a little bit about it today. But here's really the question that I think it feeds into. And that is, would your government lie to you about really, really big things? And what's interesting to me about a lot of people is that a lot of people understand, even more particularly over the past 5 to 10 years, probably the weapons of mass destruction, great lie. Now, there's many people out there, most of you probably boomers, who think it was just some faulty intelligence and they had all the best intentions of going into Iraq for these weapons of mass destruction, but oopsie, bad intelligence. No, these were lies. Just lies. And so some of those things start to crack and people start to realize, yeah, the government does lie a lot. I talk a lot on this show about the fact they're lying to you about the inflation figures. They refigured the way, the math, to arrive at the inflation figure in 1993. So when they compare inflation now to the early 1980s, they're comparing apples and oranges. It's not the same measurement. So they will lie to you about inflation. They will lie to you about unemployment. They will lie to you about weapons of mass destruction. They will lie to you about Trump being a Russian asset. They will lie to you about Hunter's laptop being Russian disinformation. They will lie to you about white supremacy being the biggest problem the United States is facing right now. They will lie to you about all of these things. But many people believe, well, they wouldn't do that, Mike. Probably the most glaring example of that, other than the moon landing, which I'll tell you why I have some suspicions. Maybe we didn't go, but probably even the bigger example is 9/11. The idea that there was some complicity within our government to either, and I don't know what happened on 9/11. I just know our government lies to us every time it opens its mouth. George Carlin was right. He said he has one rule that he lives by, and that is to never trust anything his government says, ever. You know, the idea that some people within our government would be so depraved that they would have either participated in the 9/11 attacks or even allowed them to happen is a bridge too far for many, many people. Again, probably mostly boomers. Sorry, boomers. But you've been raised in a time where you believe your government is so inefficient, yes, but still, it's our government. These are the people who generally will say things like, well, you can say what you want to about the president, but you must respect the office. No, I don't. I don't respect the office either until it is inhabited by a respectable person. So the moon landing is interesting. I'm going to play a clip here. There's a lot of reasons that people speculate that maybe the moon landing did not actually take place. And again, I understand where this puts me in many people's minds. Oh my God, I didn't know he was I didn't know he was denying the moon landing. But there are very interesting things, and I'll tell you about a documentary in just a second that you really ought to check out. It's only 45 minutes long, and I like these kinds of things because I think they're very interesting. I like the flat earth people's documentaries. There's some interesting things in those things. When the flat earth people said, why does the water cling to a globe? I found that very interesting. I've told other people, I'm not saying that I believe in flat earth, but it's a physics question that I've never considered myself. How do you have water that curves around a body? That's odd to me. Why is our atmosphere not sucked into space? These are questions I don't understand the reasons. There may be perfectly good scientific explanations for all of these. I'm sure there are. I just don't know them. So anything that makes me kind of think, anything that makes me go, huh, that's interesting. I never thought about that. That's true. That's weird. These things are interesting to me. It doesn't mean I am a flat earther, but when I listen to their arguments, I go, yeah, I could see why people would think that's kind of weird. And there's a documentary, and if you want to watch it, just out of pure interest to see if there's anything in it, there's a lot, and you can look. I actually looked on YouTube to find this next clip, and there are tons of documentaries out there debunking these things. This is what people who want you to have total faith in the government always do. There's debunkings on 9/11, debunkings on the JFK assassination, debunking on theories that say we never went to the moon. There's lots of people out there, lots of debunkers. And there's usually giant gaping holes in their explanations, and they make some pretty good points, too. The thing about conspiracy theories that is aggravating to me is that most people can't parse out things that seem to make some sense, that are compelling, that are interesting, that are thought-provoking, and then just falling for anything. Now, think of the Q movement. I'm a conspiracy. I'm a coincidence theorist. No, I'm a flat-on conspiracy theorist, but some people will just take anything and run with it if it fits another narrative. You need to actually be questioning all of it yourself. Am I falling for something ridiculous? This is a self-examination we all need to do. I do it with the moon landing. I am fully aware that maybe we went to the moon. And there may be some convincing that you can do there. It's just there are interesting anomalies that suggest that maybe we didn't make it. And you have to understand, too, at the time, with what you know about the government right now and the massive amounts of propaganda that comes out of our government and other governments around the world, this is not unique to the United States. It's just for a long time we thought we were above this, right? We have a free press. You know, we are the bright, shining city on the hill. Our government wouldn't lie to us. We're not some third world tin pot dictatorship. We're America. Well, now so many people have realized over the last really 5 to 10 years, I would say, what it took to wake up what were former normies, many normies still existing and believing that there are no really big lies. Oh, they'll tell you little tiny fibs. But they don't lie about the big things. They don't lie about war. They don't lie about assassination of Kennedy. They don't lie about those things. You know, they just lie about the little things. I'm here to tell you the government lies about everything. And so the moon landing is one of these things. I'm going to play a little clip here. This is one of the things that a lot of the people who talk about the moon landings being faked point to. I'm going to introduce this segment. This is a NASA engineer. And they're talking about this Orion mission into space. I'll let him set it up, and then I'll play you the part in it that's just interesting. I'm just giving you, look, this show is supposed to be somewhat thought-provoking. All I want from this show is for people to occasionally go, huh, that's interesting. Huh, that's weird. I hadn't thought about that before. That's like my whole goal. Because that's really what I think was part of the awakening process for me, and it was largely... I already had some suspicions after the wars kicked off, particularly in Iraq. Within a year, 2 years, I was like, what are we doing? It seems like we're causing a lot of death and mayhem. There's no weapons of mass destruction. I mean, I started realizing the corruption of our government. And then the great Ron Paul came around and started talking about, you know, maybe bombing Middle Eastern countries for decades actually creates terrorism. And I went, huh, you know, that kind of makes sense. This was part of my awakening. Just a few moments of going, huh, I hadn't thought about it that way. That's kind of true. Not many people have open minds like that, but if you do, here is the NASA engineer explaining a little bit, just to set up the Orion mission that he's talking about.
My name is Kelly Smith, and I work on navigation and guidance for Orion. Orion is NASA's next-generation spacecraft. Built with versatility in mind, it can take astronauts deeper into space than we've ever gone before, to an asteroid, or even onto Mars. For these missions, Orion has to be one tough spacecraft, withstanding high speeds, searing temperatures, and extreme radiation. Before we can send astronauts into space on Orion, we have to test all of its systems.
Okay, so that's the setup there. You understand this is Orion. This is a new vehicle for NASA. This is one of their engineers talking about the challenges of building this very rugged spaceship. I'll fast forward a little bit into this clip, and if you want this clip, you can email me, MikeMadison@WIAB.com. I'll send it to you. But here's one of the things that just sounds interesting, and I want you to listen carefully to the words of this NASA engineer talking about the plans that they have for testing this brand new Orion space capsule.
We are headed 3,600 miles above Earth, 15 times higher from the planet than the International Space Station. As we get further away from Earth, we'll pass through the Van Allen belts, an area of dangerous radiation. Radiation like this could harm the guidance systems, onboard computers, or other electronics on Orion. Naturally, we have to pass through this danger zone twice, once up and once back. But Orion has protection. Shielding will be put to the test as the vehicle cuts through the waves of radiation. Sensors aboard will record radiation levels for scientists to study. We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space.
Wait, what? Wait, what did he say? Now, with the moon landing having taken place,
was it back in 1969? Today's an anniversary. I didn't even look up the year, but I believe it's 1969. I'm just going to say this is a NASA engineer talking about the challenges of getting through this radiation belt that blankets planet Earth.
Is to study. We must solve these challenges before we send people through this region of space.
Okay, I'm just saying. As I say, I mean, that's kind of interesting, isn't it? And I'm going to run down just a couple of things here that I think are wonky about the mission to the moon. And again, thinking in your head now with what you know your government is capable of when it comes to really big lies. Vladimir Putin just woke up one morning, had a bad day, decided to invade Ukraine. There was nothing was going on there. They failed to mention the fact that they overthrew the government of Ukraine in 2014, put in a government full of Nazis that were hostile towards Russians in their own country and the country of Russia. They leave all that stuff out and tell you that Putin is just a madman like Hitler. That's a pretty big lie. They're leaving a lot out of that story, as they tell the American people. But as you know now, as you've seen over the last 5 or 10 years, for many of you, former normies, many of you are still normies, that you believe now, you know, the government lies to you about big things. The footage of the moon landing, it's just these things are all just interesting. I'm not proving anything here, let me tell you. And I am fully ready to say, hey, we went to the moon. That's great. A lot of people worked on this. The biggest argument against the conspiracy theory that we didn't go to the moon is that too many people would have had to have been involved. This is also what is said about 9/11 conspiracy theories, also what is said about the assassination of Kennedy. Do you believe that John Kennedy was killed by a lone gunman in the book depository at this point? I think it's like 80% of people do not believe that. That's a pretty big lie from your federal government. To have a sitting U.S. president murdered in broad daylight, and they lied to you about it. If they will lie to you about the assassination in broad daylight of a sitting U.S. president, do you think they might lie to you about some other big things? So here's a couple of the things, and then I'll re-reference this this documentary. The footage of the moon landing was actually very grainy, if you ever look at any of it. And one of the reasons that the footage was so grainy, not only because it was 1960s television technology, there was no 4D, ultra high K, whatever the hell we've got out now, but it was actually just a camera put up in front of a television set. It wasn't a direct feed. That's just weird. It doesn't prove anything at all. Just weird. They didn't just patch this. I mean, they were doing news reports at that point. You know, I mean, there was the nightly news where they would patch in live feeds from different places and all that stuff. But for some reason with the moon landing, it was just a TV camera focused in on a television monitor. So it was kind of a video of a video. Just odd. Some of the video footage, if you ever look at the lunar module that came up and reconnects with... Who was the guy? I forget some of the names. We know Buzz Aldrin. We know Neil Armstrong. And there was No, it wasn't Grisham. I don't know. The guy that was circling the moon. If you look at that module come back up and reconnect, I got to tell you, it just looks a little wonky. But who knows? I haven't seen a lot of video of things moving around in space. But I'm just saying, it looks a little suspicious. It's interesting that they got to the moon and back successfully on their very first try. With a computer on board of this vessel that has less power than a BlackBerry phone. That's just interesting. That doesn't prove anything. Again, I'm not saying I am proving nothing here. It's just all kinds of things that made me stop and go, huh, that is kind of odd. First try? They did all of these high precision things. They must have really had a heck of a lot of data, and they somehow loaded it into something that actually, I believe, a Texas Instruments calculator right now contains more computing power than the lunar module did. But anyway, it's just interesting. The communications with the astronauts, if you listen to the live footage of it, they can be asked something from Houston to the moon and back, and it's instantaneous. I don't know. Maybe that's possible. Radio waves do go fast, but I do know it. At the time, you couldn't call somebody in England. I have relatives that were far away, and I know even into the 70s and even into the 80s, if you made a landline phone call to somebody, you got that annoying delay in trying to talk to somebody. But maybe there's a difference between how they communicated with the astronauts. There are people with, that specialize in the field that said, that's a little wonky. There's probably no way they have pretty much, hey, Bob, hey, John, how's everything going on the mood? Great, man. It seemed to be rather spontaneous communication for such a vast distance that was covered in these things. The trajectory data to get to the moon. Well, you know, one of the big things that always kind of bothered me is, why didn't we ever go back? Now, I guess we did. We have two moon landings. I don't really remember. But after that initial thing, after we kind of, air quotes here in the studio, won the space race, we just never went back. Seems like the moon would be pretty valuable for some kind of a commercial interest or something. It seemed weird. They tell you, well, we just didn't have the budgetary resources to do another moon landing. I'm supposed to believe the government cares about how they spend your money? Are we really very frugal? Is the federal government just too frugal to send us back to the moon? They don't want to waste any money? That's what I'm supposed to believe? That may be the biggest conspiracy theory I've ever heard in my life. The trajectory data, obviously, you know, we're spinning, the moon's sitting there, we're going around the sun. There's a lot of calculations go in this stuff. Some very smart people had to figure out when to launch, how fast to go, at what trajectory you go to land on this rock and all that stuff. They lost that trajectory data. Oopsie. Apparently they wrote over it. These are always, the lost data is always very interesting. And the main thing is really, this was a propaganda tool of the Cold War. If the government ever wants to really lie about something, these are the kinds of things that they really put lies into. They put lies into the Gulf of Tonkin. They put lies into the War on Terror. They put lies into all of these kinds of things. And so I'm just saying it's an interesting thing to examine. I'm not proving that we didn't go. I'm probably 60-40. But if you are at all interested in this, I think it's 45 minutes worth, and you may be, and I've sent people to this documentary or any of these kinds of questions that I have that I find interesting. I send people to these documentaries like this or something else, and they come back to me and they go, I didn't really see anything in there as compelling. That's just interesting to me. Different human beings, I would say. I remember with the 9/11 story, I remember showing somebody a video that one of the top demolition experts in the world is a Danish guy, I believe, or a Swedish guy. I think he was Danish. He was like the foremost guy on bringing down skyscrapers with controlled demolition. And somebody showed him World Trade Center 7 coming down, but they didn't tell him what building it was. They said, what do you think about this? And he goes, man, that's a great job. Yeah, that's definitely controlled demolition, and they brought that thing straight down right there in all those buildings. That's a very competent job right there. He goes, what building is that? And they say, that's World Trade Center 7 on 9/11. And he goes, what? They go, yeah. This is a building that supposedly just came down because of some office fires, is what the government is telling people. And this guy, he's one of the leaders in the world of demolishing buildings, says, no, that's a controlled demolition. He knows what he's talking. He's one of the world leaders. I would show this to friends of mine, and they would go, well, what does he know? So I understand some people, there's a mental block in some people. They just can't go that far. I'm perfectly aware of that. And I'm not convincing anybody of anything right now whatsoever. I just think it's interesting. Documentary is called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. It's 45 minutes. If you're at all interested in just what us crazy people are looking at to even question that Neil Armstrong took steps on the moon. And believe me, I'm locking the studio door because what I understand is if you propose this to Buzz Aldrin, he will pop you in the mouth. Be right back. All right, so we're talking about, did we really go to the moon? This will, for many people, immediately delegitimize anything else I ever say on this show because I must be insane. It's very interesting to me because I think this is this exercise in asking this question and being open to the possibility that we lied about it, just even the remotest possibility. Many people who've never, ever looked into, never heard the conspiracy theorists' arguments will immediately dismiss it because there's a wall in their brain that says the government they can't get away with a lie like that. Do you understand that right now, as we speak, they are planning on turning all of our lives completely upside down based on this climate change stuff. Of course, this is run by BlackRock and some of the biggest institutions that are ready to cash in on these new technologies. Believe me, they're not going to give up their stakes, but they're going to force you to give up your stakes. They're not going to give up their private jets, but they're going to make you take the bus. I mean, this climate change stuff, and that's why I think my Neptune story was so good. But they can't prove this stuff. There's no science, but they will tell you that 99.9% of all climate scientists agree. That's a lie. It's a huge lie. Look into the calculations on where they get those statistics from. It ends up being something like 40 people. The government will lie to you about huge things. Here's a fun one about the moon thing that I found kind of compelling, and it did make me just go, huh, that's kind of weird. Look at the size of the lunar lander, and then look at the size of the little dune buggy they drove around. Now, I don't know. Maybe this thing was a fold-up. You know, they got all kinds of bikes now you can put into a backpack. It's got the little tiny wheels. You don't look real masculine driving this thing around, but apparently you can fold it up pretty tiny, maybe put it in your pocket. But this lunar rover thing, this car they were jetting around in, I don't know where it fit in that lunar module. That's people have shown it side by side and said, where do they store this thing? Was there like a big luggage rack on the top of the lunar module? There's all kinds of interesting things. Again, the documentary is called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. If you just want to see what all us crazy kids are talking about, you can take a look at those things and just see if any of those things don't strike you as just a tad bit odd. If you want to call in about it, if you think I'm crazy, you can call in. We can talk about this today for the next half hour before I get to Hump Day Health, or I'll move on. There's some very interesting stuff coming out of Australia. Alex Berenson is reporting on. We may get to that. Stick around. I'll be right back.
What's your frequency, Ken, at the show? Benzodrine.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I have made no bones about it. This is basically an anti-government show. I don't know what that means for me in the future, but I'm not a fan of governments pretty much at any level. They are occupied. It's very interesting. Our idea of government is that people are not capable of running a civil society because they're just flawed and evil, and we have bad natural tendencies. So our reaction to that is, well, let's let some of these same human beings that are flawed and have bad natural tendencies set the rules for the rest of us. It really makes no sense when you stop and think about it. Some level of organization to get things done is certainly necessary on many big type issues, big projects. But the idea that you must have a government, and so I'm not a fan of government, from the smallest petty tyrants in our local communities that are deciding where you can and can't open and operate a business, to the larger criminals in Washington, D.C. that are deciding the fates of billions of human beings around the planet. These are flawed, corrupt, and dishonest human beings. So we're talking today a little bit about the moon landing, and I guess I can't let go of this topic if I get an hour where I can talk about how big of a lie would our government tell us. That's kind of my thing. I thought this was interesting, too. Now, who is complicit? The only way that the government can get away with huge lies. Let me ask you this. Do you believe that COVID itself killed 1 million Americans? That if it was not for this one virus with this 99.8% survivability, if you're under 75 years old, do you think that this one virus invaded our land and there would be 1 million more happy, healthy people walking the planet right now, walking the streets of our country, had it not been for this virus? Or do you believe that the media and our government, everybody from the local petty tyrant to the Thomas Dobbs of the world to the Anthony Fauci's to the pharmaceutical companies and the mainstream media, do you think that they hyped these numbers that people who went in for a horrific car accident that somehow tested positive for COVID were listed as COVID deaths? Now, many people might believe that COVID itself, had COVID not come to our land, 1 million more people would be alive right now. Some people still believe that, but the evidence is wildly to the contrary, that the classification of COVID deaths. So you've got a government that is lying to you at just about every single level, and a media that's complicit in all of it. You cannot have huge government lies without media complicity. The media in this country is not the fifth estate speaking truth to power. The mainstream media in this country are handmaidens. They are servants of the state. And this is the result. I thought this was kind of interesting. They did an interview with Katie Kerr. She's an NBC, air quotes here in the studio, journalist. And I thought this was interesting to hear her say this.
There was just a Gallup poll out today that shows that the trust in media, newspapers, and television is, you know, hitting an all-time low. People don't trust us. They don't believe us. And it makes me wonder if this job, as I'm currently doing it.
And she does it horrifically. If you followed Katie Turr, particularly during the Trump years, she did it horrifically. One of the worst out there. It's hard to believe she may be doing some self-reflection, but maybe she is. Again, this is Katie Turr from NBC News.
Makes me wonder if this job, as I'm currently doing it, is effective.
No.
But if it's doing more harm than good. I don't have a good answer for that.
Yeah. Well, actually, she is effective. The propaganda, the driving of narratives and whole cloth that are just blatant lies, they are effective in doing that. They set a lot of policy. They allow a lot of criminality to go unaccountable. So they are effective, but they are doing more harm than good. So if she's wondering, am I doing more harm than good? The answer to that is an unequivocal yes. So if you have a media, and again, I ask you, did we have a million people who died spontaneously because of this one disease, or did they hype the numbers? Did masking ever work? There's not a chart out there that shows that masks ever work, yet your government tells you and the media tells you right now that it's very important that you wear a mask. Did the lockdowns work? They told you that it was crucial to flatten the curve, to save people, to not kill Nana, that you locked down. Did stripping children of their school experience, I mean, because Sweden never closed their schools for a day. Those kids were out on the playgrounds playing Red Rover, maskless. They didn't have any problems, but our government and our media here tells us they did it to save lives. Do you believe that John F. Kennedy was killed by a lone gunman in the book depository behind him, even with the Zapruder film and looking at the way that the head of John Kennedy lurches? See, this is the thing with the moon landing or anything else. It's just into a larger issue. Is it possible that the government lies about huge, huge things? How many people have died as a result of our wars in the Middle East, the occupation of Iraq, which led to Libya, led to Syria, currently involved in Yemen, the Sudan? And these things were based on lies. The Gulf of Tonkin, we killed 58,000 young Americans, drafted them into a war based on a lie, which is the Gulf of Tonkin. You can go look. They admit now that incident never actually happened. Hundreds of thousands of U.S. troops were damaged mentally and physically, came back wounded. 58,000 died, and millions of South Asians were killed in that thing. Would they possibly have lied, led to all of that death and destruction to our people as well as other people? And it turns out it was all based on a lie. So is lying about the moon landing really that big of a leap? Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, I am, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Okay. And I just wanted to tell you something. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I wanted to ask you, along the lines you were just speaking of about COVID, did you see watch Tucker Carlson last night?
I did not.
Okay. Well, he had some... well, it may not have been Tucker, because it may have been one of the other shows, but they had some doctors on there that one from Johns Hopkins, who said that they were counting all deaths. If they had any kind of sign of COVID.
Right.
And he asked them, say, you trying to tell me if they died of a car accident? He said, yes, they counted that as a COVID death. You know, and he said that there was a lot of time that they were sending, they were trying to amass large numbers.
Right, absolutely.
I guess, to create more fear.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
And it's just a shame. But does the government lie? I'm a retired military, and I can tell you right now, they do. Okay? No ifs, and buts about it.
Yep.
It's all about money and power.
Right.
So, you know, and if people are so naive that they don't believe that the government will lie to them, then they just they're just living in la-la land.
Yeah, okay. And the bigger the lie, the more they will really dig into it. I mean, you know, there is no boundary in what I say. You know, the interesting thing is so many people will hear what you say, and we will agree with that. We know our government lies. God knows we know whether our media will lie. But they just think that some of the things, whether it's 9/11, whether it is weapons of mass destruction, whether it's the killing of Kennedy, whether it's the moon landing, they go, well, yeah, our government lies constantly, our media lies constantly, but they wouldn't lie about that. Come on, yeah, now, you're I'm just sorry, being crazy. And I think that that line is so arbitrarily drawn with everything that we know, the proven lies of this government. And what you're talking about with COVID is a biggie. They stripped our kids of a couple of years of their life. Suicides are up. Financial destruction of the American people was just brutal. Main Street is still reeling from these things based on that huge lie and fear-mongering campaign. If they will lie about that, what's off the table?
Well, they said that last night that one of the doctors had put a book out about all of the lies that they intentionally.
Yes, absolutely.
And that was a person that was directly involved.
Yeah.
He said, and it was a female. She said, we intentionally did that.
Right.
And I'm wondering, I was thinking, I said, good night. Her career must be over.
Yeah.
Because
well, you
they
know,
try to take her down for sitting up there saying that.
That brings up a good point, because what a lot of people think is what they kind of retreat to when they're not mentally prepared to understand the huge lies that your government will tell you is they just think, well, it's just a bunch of incompetent people. They just, you know, they got some things wrong, you know, not the best and brightest are attracted to government work. So they just make mistakes. To this, I say, well it's always interesting.
Last question there, and then I'll hang up. And about this thing about heat, see, you know, that they're making such a big issue. I'm hearing about London, they were talking about, like, it's such a big thing. I said, this is nothing but a prelude to them trying to push this climate change deal. I said, because I'm 70, almost 71 years old right now, and I know it was hot back then. When I was,
No, it's know? No, Willie. It's never been hot before. This is the first time in recorded history it's ever been hot, and so you just need to accept their words for it. We need drastic changes to our behavior to stop this hotness. Yeah. Hey, thanks, Willie. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
You too. I just finished my point there. You know, what a lot of people think is that, well, our government isn't evil. It doesn't lie on purpose. They're just bumbling bureaucrats. I have friends who believe this. What I see is a conspiracy. They see as just typical government incompetence. They just got things wrong. They just thought there were weapons of mass destruction. It wasn't an intentional lie. It's just interesting to me that for a bunch of bumbling idiots, the right people always seem to win in these issues, right? Mike, it's not a conspiracy that they tried to inflate COVID numbers. It's just a bad reporting systems and bumbling idiots within the government and inefficient hospitals reporting things. It was just all a big accident. That's why this happened. It's just because we just don't have the best and the brightest there. Well, that's interesting, because the hospitals knocked the cover off the ball financially and the pharmaceutical companies are awash in cash. Well, it was just a bunch of incompetent people who thought that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. It wasn't some big conspiracy. They didn't deliberately lie about it. They just got the intelligence got wrong. Well, the defense contractors have done great as a result of that mistake and the mistake of Vietnam and every other false flag that's ever, every other, air quotes here in the studio, mistake of a bumbling government always seems to benefit the same people. Isn't that interesting? Be right back.
You can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
All right, we're about to move on to Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I've only got about a minute left here. Let me clarify one thing just to kind of, everything is in some nuance. There are reporters, there are bureaucrats, they may believe in, say, climate change. There are idiots. There are incompetent people in our governments at every level. I hate to pick on him because I hear he's a nice guy, but I watched George Flagg's reaction to COVID and all of the things he imposed on the people of Vicksburg. Now, he's probably a true believer. He probably was just scared to death And so he imposed all these restrictions on the people of Vicksburg. I just remember him being especially hypochondriac about it. So there are dumb people, but it starts at the top. The big lies are just created by people, and then a lot of people do believe in them. So a lot of doctors freak out about COVID because of what they were being told from the CDC and the FDA, that there's always that kind of that nexus of where the big lie starts. And then when they see, I mean, propaganda is a thing because it works. If it didn't work, it wouldn't be tried, it wouldn't be talked about, it wouldn't be legalized in the U.S. now. I mean, propaganda wouldn't be a thing if it didn't work. It does work on a lot of people. There is incompetence, but I'm telling you, the rule of thumb is if your government tells you something, assume the opposite, let them prove it. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we focus in on health-related topics in my segment, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. I start off every one of these segments by explaining to you, I am not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist, not an immunologist, not a virologist, I'm not a surgeon, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a therapist, I have no medical training whatsoever except a very curious mind and a desire to escape the current medical system for a whole host of reasons. Number one, feeling good every day. Number two, the expense of it. And number three, just that rebellious nature I have of just not being a profit center for big pharma. I probably get more satisfaction out of that than anything I've spent. Zero. 17 years now, zero pharmaceuticals. I guess technically you could probably say that ibuprofen that I've taken. All right, I'll give you that one. 3-4 times a year, I pop a little ibuprofen for a headache if my apple cider vinegar isn't going to work fast enough. But besides that, I have largely escaped the medical system. No doctor's appointments, no money into this profit system that feeds off of sickness. You're only profitable to the medical establishment if you are sick. I think that's a flaw in the program, flaw in the design. But I'm not here to advise you on your health. I know nothing about your personal situation, and I am none of the things I just listed to you. I am just trying to get people curious and to understand you are not helpless when it comes to your health outcomes. Several things to get through today. One thing I ran across that was just, kind of cringeworthy. There is obviously a war on meat going on right now. This is attached to climate. Apparently, SUVs and cow farts are going to kill us all. And there's a pretty big push against meat. One of the things that they're planning on doing is rolling out bugs on us. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to be forced to eat. I believe in free choice. I love farmers who raise meat. I am a carnivore, an omnivore. I believe that the structure of our mouths and the teeth that we have suggest that biologically we are designed to eat both meat and vegetables. This is my problem with vegans and vegetarians. I believe that meat is part of our diet. When it comes to eating bugs, if they were nutritious and had some protein in them, that doesn't really freak me out that bad. I know that's kind of weird, but lots of countries out there have been eating crickets for forever. Now, the idea that they're going to force us into this because it's more, air quotes here in the studio, sustainable, that's abhorrent to me. But the bugs are coming. Let me just tell you right now. Within 20 years, your kids, it'll be one of the things that your kids are probably eating at school if they get their way. They're coming after the meat. That's a very, very long run-up to this one clip I ran across. One of the big innovations of the past several years has been this fake meat. They have done all kinds of plants, manipulated in different ways, a lot of different additives. There's a lot of chemical processes involved in these to try to get people to eat meat that's just not meat. Now, this is not even getting us into the Bill Gates lab-grown meat, which just gives me the heebie-jeebies when I hear them talking about it. This is what they are going to try to replace natural animals with. It's very interesting. I wonder if they're going to go out there to the lions and tigers and bears and tell them, you guys are killing the planet by eating all these other animals. We need to get you on a good plant-based diet. I mean, probably going to be a lot of animals left, and they're all still going to fart. So I'm not sure what we do about them, but they're coming after our meat. Impossible Burger Beyond Meat. I ran across this ad. Unfortunately, I think it'll probably be very effective, so I'm going to pull it apart a little bit here. This is the new spokesman, I guess, for Beyond Meat. It is none other than Kim Kardashian.
I believe so much in the mission of Beyond Meat that I've stepped in to help with my greatest asset, my taste. This plant-based meat is not only amazingly delicious, but it's also better for you and better for the planet. It's a simple change that makes a really big difference.
So good.
And now that I'm Beyond Meat's chief taste consultant, there's never been a better time to go beyond.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think this is going to be very effective. I was talking to people about that yesterday. She's an influencer. She is there. They are going to spend a lot of money with Kim Kardashian just to influence you. Now, she is also not a doctor, not a biologist, knows nothing about this, but she says it tastes great. So they're pushing this fake meat on you. And a lot of people, I've talked a lot about diet sodas here. People are trying to make good decisions for themselves. They understand that high fructose corn syrup, these major sodas, is not good for you. So they're opting instead for diet sodas. Swing and a miss. The chemical cocktail that is a diet soda is harming your health as well. And so when I see people opting for Beyond Meat, Impossible Burger, this idea that they're going to somehow be getting more plants in their diet and saving the planet, I hate to tell you, it's another one of these things where they're forcing you into something that is actually less healthy than regular meat. I've talked a little bit about these before. Beyond Burger, I will say, I believe uses non-GMO ingredients, where Impossible Burger, I believe, uses GMO ingredients, meaning that when you go to an Impossible Burger, you're getting a good healthy dose of glyphosate, the weed killer, sold by Monsanto, which is now Bayer. This has a whole host of health effects that I've talked about endlessly on the show, but Beyond Meat does say that it uses a non-GMO soybeans and pea protein. Now, I've got lists of all the ingredients here. Certainly some chemicals in these things, as well as some processed oils. The ingredients to make these things, you can understand what it takes to turn a plant into something that tastes like meat. That's no easy feat. These are ultra-processed foods. That's first of all. I believe you should get more plants into your diet. Now, I'm considering carnivore, which is zero plants. But if you're trying to eat a good diet, you certainly get a lot of good nutrients, particularly from organic, locally grown, good soil vegetables. They certainly have a great place in your diet. If that's what you want for health benefits, then get those vegetables. Do not think you're eating vegetable vitamins in a heavily processed artificial meat based on one of these plants. But I wanted to read some of these things, some of these ingredients. This is from a site called Ancestral Nutrition, where they talk about some of the product, some of the things that are in these meats. Soy protein isolate. Processed soy is particularly bad. Whereas fermented organic soy in small amounts like natto does not pose serious health risk, eating soy protein isolate will definitely take its toll on the body. Some effects of soy include decreased libido, mood swings, depression, and several others. A study from Harvard found that men consuming the equivalent of one cup of soy milk per day had 50% lower sperm count than men who did not consume soy. That includes even counting other factors like age, caffeine, and alcohol intake. Another study found that soy stimulated the growth of estrogen-dependent tumors found in breast cancer. And then this another study found the same thing, found that, quote, this pilot study indicates that prolonged consumption of soy protein isolate has a stimulatory effect on the premenopausal female breast, characterized by increased secretion of breast fluid, the appearance of hyperplastic epithelial cells, and elevated levels of plasma estradiol. These findings are suggestive of an estrogenic stimulus from the isoflavones, genistein, and it's no good. I told you I'm not a scientist. Soy and is also high in phytic acid, also known as phytates. These phytates prevent the absorption of minerals like iron and calcium, among others. They can be particularly harmful, especially for children. Additionally, soy is high in phytoestrogen. This can block normal estrogen, which leads not just to hormonal imbalances, but even breast cancer. And this story goes on and talks about the canola oil. There's very interesting. You can always email me for links to any of the source material in the show, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. There's an interesting, it's not an anti-canola oil thing, but it is a video about how they make canola oil. I should play part of it because the opening, it's kind of one of these industry things. I'm actually fascinated by the engineering, how they take this tiny little canola seed and get it through all of these chemical processes and these amazing machines, wash it in all of these different chemicals to be able to squeeze out this oil that they tell you is so incredibly healthy because it has less saturated fat. They're still clinging to this low fat is great. But there is this, if you watch how canola oil is made and you look at all the processes and chemicals that go through, it goes through to produce this cooking oil for you, you might stop and think, doesn't feel real natural. Pig lard is better for you than this canola oil. But anyway, a lot of chemicals used in the canola oil that goes into these things. It goes into caramel color. Yeast extract. Sure, I've talked about this before, but yeast extract that's in these Beyond Meat things, that is also known as MSG, monosodium glutamate. And this is known, have a whole bunch of health dangers to you. It's a neurotoxin, and there's several other things, titanium dioxide in these things, and carrageenan, I believe it's called. Anyway, they are pushing us towards these artificial meats. Please do not think you're doing something better for your body to eat these things. If you want more vegetables, eat more vegetables. Don't go for heavy processed stuff. And this is the same for diet stuff, too. If you're doing keto or if you're doing anything, eating a bunch of ultra-processed foods that are just slapped with a label of vegan or keto or low-fat, any of these ultra-processed foods, you're doing yourself no favor. The way that they get taste into these things that they try to manipulate into other products is by using a ton of chemicals and additives and things like that that cause health problems. Beyond Meat is no example. Kim Kardashian, she's probably going to cause a lot of people to have a lot of pain health-wise going forward, trying to push them into this ultra-processed soy-based meat substitute. It's a shame. Be right back. If you are looking to get a healthier meat, then we have the place for you here at WYAB, and that is Stonington Farm. Go to stoningtonfarm.com, stoningtonfarm.com. They've been a sponsor of this show, and this is a local farmer down in South Mississippi who raises grass-fed cattle. They're born here in Mississippi, they're raised here in Mississippi, and they're fed what cows are supposed to eat, which is grass. Not a bunch of hormones. No hormones, no antibiotics, no big processing, no ultra processing. Meat is not sprayed with a ton of chemicals the way that the large cattle operations are, so they can ship meat around the world and keep it looking pink in the plastic. No, this is real cows raised the right way, fed their natural diet, and then brought to your table by a local farmer. This is the way we should be eating. And again, this is Stonington Farm. Go to stoningtonfarm.com. They sell in bulk, and if you buy in bulk, you get it delivered to Jackson area for free. This is something, you know, you might want to buy a half cow, quarter cow. You just go to their website, stoningtonfarm.com, and look and see what they've got. You're going to stock up on meat, and when you buy in bulk, you're going to save some money too, which seems to be important these days. Not only are you getting a healthier meat, but you're getting it at a reduced cost. So that's stoningtonfarm.com. Check them out. Give them a call. Great people down there. Like I say, this is a small family-owned farm, and there's never been a time more important than right now to support our local small farmers. They are under attack. So help them out and do your health a favor as well. All right. I wanted to get into this. Sometimes shows bleed into each other, go from one topic to another, and one of my other fatwas here on the station has been the over-medication, particularly of our children, but really of ourselves, particularly when it comes to antidepressants. And I ran across a natural intervention for depression. They've recently released a study on that I thought I'd help you with. If you're feeling blue, I'm telling you right now, big part of it is your diet. Life happens. We can't shield ourselves from life with pharmaceuticals. And so things do tend to make us sad. But when it comes to how to improve that and make yourself more emotionally resilient, more mentally resilient, that is not the path through a pill bottle is not your best path. It is through nutrition. There's a chart that's been put out here. It talks about antidepressant use in the modern Western world. Global antidepressant users per 1,000 people. It starts with Korea that has about 13 people per 1,000 people who use antidepressants. Norway's 58 people per 1,000 people. The UK is 71 people per 1,000 people use antidepressants. And then all the way down to the bottom of this list, where it should be because it's the worst, is the United States with 110 people on antidepressants per 1,000 people. This is a sad state of affairs. We are over-medicated in this society, and those antidepressants come with a whole history, a whole long list of side effects and problems long-term. Addiction to these things. I don't know how many of you have ever tried them and then tried to get off of them if you were on them for a period of time. It is not easy and should not be done unless you are under a doctor's supervision because it can make your brain go haywire. We need to find alternatives to these things, particularly when it comes to our kids. So, part of this show is trying to explain to you the dangers of these things and then provide some natural alternatives. This was on Study Finds. Vitamin B6 supplements in high doses can calm anxiety and depression. Taking high-dose vitamin B6 supplements may help to reduce feelings of anxiety and depression, a new study reveals. Researchers from the University of Reading in England report that young adults taking a dose 50 times the recommended daily dose reported feeling less anxious and depressive over a month. Vitamin B6 helps the body turn protein and carbohydrates into energy and also plays an important role in the nervous system. It also increases the body's production of GABA. That's gamma-aminobutyric acid, a chemical that blocks impulses between nerve cells in the brain. Vitamin B6 is found naturally in a variety of foods, including salmon, tuna, chickpeas, and bananas. Quote, the functioning of the brain relies on a delicate balance between the excitatory neurons that carry information around and inhibitory ones, which prevent runaway activity. This is from Dr. David Field from the University of Reading. He said, recent theories have connected mood disorders and some other neuropsychiatric conditions with a disturbance of this balance, often in the direction of raised levels of brain activity. Vitamin B6 helps the body produce a specific chemical messenger that inhibits impulses in the brain, and our study links this calming effect with reduced anxiety among participants. The study provides evidence lacking in previous studies as to what extent exactly drives the stress-reducing effects of Marmite and multivitamins. More than 300 participants took either a placebo or vitamin B6 or B12 supplements at 50 times the recommended amount, around 70 milligrams. Each participant took one tablet a day with food. Vitamin B12 had little effect compared to the placebo, but B6 showed a statistically reliable difference. Now, they do talk, say this, they were supplementing with 70 milligrams of vitamin B6. They said that an extra high dose, they did warn, don't take too much, more than 200 milligrams a day, as it can lead to loss of feeling in the arms and legs. In a few cases, this has become permanent in people who have taken very large doses for several months. In this study, they said many foods, including tuna, chickpeas, and many fruits and vegetables, contain vitamin B6. And see, here's the beautiful thing about the internet. It's just no reason for us to be trapped in illness anymore. There's so much information out there. Do an internet search for foods high in B6. Good supplementation with B6. If you've got depressive things, if your children have got mood issues, maybe this is something you can give them without any dangerous side effects, without any dangers of addiction. I'm going to tell you, I don't know, kind of a side note here. I can't tell people, if you've got behavioral problems with your children, the profound difference that proper nutrition will make. I'm probably repeating myself because this is kind of a part of many stories that I've done, but if you are giving your kid Lunchables every day and a Mountain Dew for lunch, and then the teacher calls and says they won't sit still, you think that's a disease that they have? You think they've got this ADHD that your child's brain is somehow malformed They've got some kind of a disability? Or could it be the heavily processed food you gave them for lunch tacked on with a bunch of caffeine and high fructose corn syrup? Maybe that's what's keeping them agitated during the afternoons. The teacher, the school shrink, will tell you, oh, we need to get them on Ritalin or Adderall. They just can't focus up. I don't know why. You gave them a giant bowl of sugary cereal in the morning along with a giant glass of basically just sugar and orange juice or apple juice. They were eating a Hershey bar or Babe Ruth on the way to school, and then you gave them a Lunchable and a Mountain Dew to eat during lunch. We can't understand why they won't sit still. If you have got behavioral issues, sadness issues, depressive issues with your children, you would be stunned. Stunned. It's not easy. It's not easy. Sometimes you have to deny your children food they may want. They get addicted to this chemical cocktail of products that we put in front of our children. The easy, convenient stuff out of a bag or a box or a can or a jar. Those things are easy. It takes a little bit of work. But if you really want to address behavioral problems, emotional problems with your children, if you're not starting with nutrition, I believe, my personal opinion, you're doing your child a huge disservice to instead immediately seek the consultation of a doctor or a pharmacist. Put them on one of these drugs. Anyway, vitamin B6 showing some efficacy when it comes to this. Again, it was 70 milligrams a day for young adults. If you've got a child, you might want to try smaller amounts of that. I'm not here to tell anybody to do anything with anybody at any time for any reason. You do your own research. But a natural supplementation with a vitamin as opposed to a black box warning antidepressant for a young adult is probably a better idea. Wouldn't you think? I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. We do it every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. I'm trying to help you escape the medical system, save you some money, make you feel better on a daily basis. I started talking about last hour about what we're feeding our kids at school, and then they go to the school counselor, and the counselor recommends you put them on Adderall. We don't pay attention to what we're feeding them all day, what's going into their systems, and I don't know what you know. I mean, I'm not a biologist, but I do understand that food that goes into us goes to all kinds of different organs, including the brain. And I was looking during the break at some of the ingredients in one of my favorite Targets, the Lunchable. I don't know how many people load up their baskets with the Lunchable. Isn't that easy? A juice box and a Lunchable. Kids are taken care of. Easy peasy. Grab one out. Which Lunchable do you want? Go take a look at the ingredients to Lunchables sometimes. Just go look at all of the chemicals that you're putting in your kids, all of the preservatives. These are just processed meats and all kinds of stuff. It's full of all kinds of stuff. I was going to read off a lot of the ingredients to you. I can't pronounce a bunch of them, so I won't even try because I'm not a chemist either. But if you're giving your kid this garbage and sending them to school and then wondering why they can't focus up, why they're having difficulty learning, why they seem to be aggressive with the other children, well, just look at what you're putting into their brain. It's really not difficult stuff. I know your doctor hasn't asked you what you're feeding them for breakfast and lunch before you set them in a desk for 8 hours a day. Nobody asks that question, do they? They just go, oh, those are the symptoms that you're seeing? We got a pill for that. Don't worry. And we have got the most over-medicated youth population and adult population. It's for you adults, too. If you pay attention to what you're eating, you probably won't need mommy's little helper every day. There is another class of drugs that a group called Alliance for Natural Health is petitioning to get some warnings on them. And this is the proton pump inhibitors. And I'll read off some of these because I know they are a lot of people use these things. These are things for heartburn, acid indigestion, things that people pop like candy. I've known people who've taken these things every single day. Nexium, Dexilant, Protonix, Prevacid. Some of these are the big ones that you see advertised constantly. Prilosec. Prilosec OTC. That's the over-the-counter. Nexium. Prevacid, Nexium. There's all kinds of different names of these things. But these are the proton pump inhibitors. You go to the doctor. You say you've got acid reflux. They say, we got a pill for that. Let me tell you some of the side effects that they are petitioning to get some warnings put on these. PPIs, these are the proton pump inhibitors, are among the most widely used medications in the U.S., but many users are unaware that the evidence supporting the link between PPIs and dementia is strong. Studies have linked PPI use directly with dementia. A large study published in JAMA Neurology, that's the Journal of the American Medical Association, found that regular use of PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, those are just the Nexiums, the Prilosex, increased the risk for dementia by as much as 52% compared with non-users. In addition to these studies demonstrating direct link, other side effects of PPI use are also connected with dementia and Alzheimer's. For example, PPI use is associated with higher risk of chronic kidney disease. It's been accepted that kidney function is connected with brain activities, and studies have linked kidney disease with dementia and Alzheimer's. PPI use also increases risk of heart attack and heart disease. Researchers have speculated that the link between PPIs and dementia is potentially caused by a PPI-induced increase of the protein amyloid beta. Alzheimer's patients have abnormal levels of this protein, which clump together to form plaques that collect between neurons and disrupt cell function. Another link could be a vitamin B12 deficiency, since PPIs disrupt the body's ability to absorb this vitamin. A link between PPIs, dementia, and Alzheimer's is, of course, just one more in a long list of nasty side effects of these drugs. Public health experts say between 60 and 70% of people who take these drugs don't need them. Acid blockers like PPIs do not address the root cause of stomach trouble, which is often too little stomach acid, not too much. That means that in many cases, taking acid blockers simply makes your stomach problems even worse. The FDA already has issued a number of warnings regarding PPIs, including the increased risk of bone fracture, hypomagnesemia, low serum magnesium levels, and Clostridium difficile-associated diarrhea. It's time to add dementia to this list. So if you were taking these Nexiums, Prilosex, eating them like candy, this may end up causing you some long-term problems. Again, these things are not associated. Part of our problem that we have here, it's really the same reason we've got problems politically, with social media. I mean, it just really doesn't matter. Humans are just not wired to look at the big picture, look long-term on anything. Oh, I've been taking Prilosec for a year. I'm fine. It helps my stomach. You're not helping your problem. The problem, if you were curing the problem that was causing your acid reflux, then you wouldn't still need to take the drug, right? Why don't you fix the problem? Now, this is completely anecdotal. A friend of mine was taking, I think it was Prilosec. Took it every day. I get some of these names confused. There's so many of them floating around on television all the time. But I believe it was Prilosec. And I told him, just try a glass of apple cider vinegar during the day, maybe before you eat. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist. But I know that a lot of people are misdiagnosing too much stomach acid with actually too little. And apple cider vinegar can help increase the acidity in your stomach to help you digest food better so it doesn't back up on you. And so he tried this after several months of just telling him, to be honest with you, I got tired of him whining about it. Oh, my stomach hurts. I get this bad acid reflux. Oh, I've got the worst heartburn. If someone's not going to do something to help themselves, to be honest with you, I just get tired of it. And so I'll keep saying, look, I'm telling you, just try this. It's not going to hurt anything. It costs $5 for a bottle of organic apple cider vinegar. And he tried it, and he didn't mention his problems with his stomach anymore. And eventually, a couple of months later, we talked. He goes, yeah, I'm down to about one Prilosec a month. I'm just saying, that's anecdotal. I don't know. But do your own research. Take a look. Acid reflux, heartburn, digestive issues, whatever your thing is, and apple cider vinegar. And then make up your own mind. Try it. It's $5. Not going to kill you. No disastrous side effects of apple cider vinegar unless you slosh it around and keep it on your teeth and eat away the enamel. The stuff is pretty hardcore. I don't know if you've ever had it, but maybe a natural alternative. But again, if you want to take away your risk of Alzheimer's, heart disease, magnesium problems, the rest of the things that are attached to these proton pump inhibitors that everybody's swallowing like candy, there's plenty of ways to take a look at natural alternatives to those things. Look to Dr. Axe, Dr. Berg, any of these great doctors that are out there giving you natural solutions to these problems. I'll be right back. Citizens from all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I
bailed you out when you were down on your knees. So will you catch me now? I'm falling.
If you are overwhelmed by the information that I put out there or just trying to get online and look at things and you need some professional involvement in the management of your health and while seeking a better way to feel better to address any chronic conditions you have, we do have a resource here in central Mississippi, right in Ridgeland, Mississippi, that I encourage you to check out. If you want to get a medical professional involved in your health, but you're kind of getting a little suspicious about this pill mill that you've been going to, and you want to get somebody who's going to try to get down to the root of your problems, address that both nutritionally or with other interventions that are more natural, then you need to check out Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinic right there in Ridgeland. They're on Draperton Drive, right over by the Costco in Ridgeland off of Highland Colony. This is an integrated wellness clinic. They are designed to keep you feeling better by focusing in on your quality of life by enhancing your body's own ability to heal itself. All factors that influence health, wellness, and disease are taken into consideration, including mind, nutrition, community, as well as the body. Good health and promotion and the prevention of illness are paramount at Integrative Medical and Wellness. They have got decades of experience. They are there to treat your medical needs. They offer patients all natural and customized healthcare solutions that focus on an inside to outside philosophy, the way it should be. By blending traditional with their treatment programs, they're designed to help you relieve pain while targeting the cause of your distress. So if you need to consult a medical professional and you want to try something different, you need to go see these people. You can see them. Look at all their services and find out information about them at imawc.com. That is imawc.com or 601-843-6195. 601-843-6195, imawc.com. That's Integrated Medical and Wellness Clinic. They are a wealth of knowledge there as well. And maybe you'll get to the root cause of some of your problems rather than just addressing the symptoms, as our medical system is prone to do. I sell a lot of radical things on this show, not just during this hour, pretty much every time I'm on the mic. But, you know, I talk about fasting, limiting carbs. A lot of it's pretty substantial dietary changes, and big things don't often sell real well. Now, if somebody will ever take it upon themselves to accept the challenge and try some of these things, I think you'll be pleasantly rewarded, but that's not always easy. When I tell somebody I'm on a 5-day water fast, they look at me like I've sprouted a second head and they think I'm nuts and I'm going to die. It's so stupid. I understand that. I understand that that is not something people are open to. It's my hobby, so I'm a weirdo in that way. But I thought this was an interesting presentation by Dr. Jason Fung. We've talked about him recently. He talks a lot about fasting, works with a lot of diabetics. And he understands the nutritional ways that diabetics can use fasting and nutrition to reverse slash cure their diabetes. And I played a clip from him a couple of weeks ago where he explained that we're really approaching diabetes from the wrong method. Well, he's had a lot of success with his clients. You can look him up. His name is Dr. Jason Fung, F-U-N-G. Plenty of information online. He puts out a lot of stuff if you are diabetic. The problem is we've got not only a lot of diabetics out there, we got a whole lot of pre-diabetics and even more people that don't realize they are pre-diabetic. Something like 24 million people walking around with diabetes don't even know it. The number of people who have got insulin problems that are pre-diabetic tiptoeing towards diabetes is something like 111 million people. There's some huge number. It's in the tens of millions of people in the U.S. Have got these problems, and it's because of our diets. They're very bad here. I thought this was interesting. I won't have time for the entire clip. You can always email me, MikeMadison@WYEB.com, and I'll send it to you. But this is about just rearranging the order in which you eat your foods. So if you won't cut out the carbs, maybe you can just move them around in the rotation as you eat and have a dramatic effect on your blood sugar. One of the things I love about this show is when I'm doing research for it, trying to find segments, I learn things. This, I thought, was very interesting. If you're interested about controlling, you know, insulin spikes and crashes, this is what leads us to need to take a nap in the afternoon or desperately desire one anyway. Maybe just the timing of how you eat your food, what you eat first and what you eat last could actually be of benefit to you. This is Dr. Jason Fung.
Most of the time when we think about eating low-carbohydrate meals, for example, for diabetics, well, we think about the total number of carbohydrates. The other thing we talk about is the net carbohydrates, and that is the total minus the fiber, because the fiber generally isn't absorbed. So therefore, that is the total number of carbohydrates that your body is seeing. However, it turns out that the order in which you eat your food may make a big difference in how high your blood glucose goes as well, not only for pre-diabetics, but for type 2 diabetics, and maybe even for type 1 diabetics. And certain studies, such as this one from 2005, have shown that if you give a sort of whey powder just before, you can decrease the amount of glucose. There's a lot of also epidemiologic studies that were linking milk drinking, for example, and a lower risk of type 2 diabetes, so that seemed to make sense. In 2015, some smart researchers did an early pilot study in people with type 2 diabetes. And these were people who were taking metformin, and they measured their blood glucose eating the same exact meal, but with the order of how they're eating switched up. So they took 11 patients, and they gave them, on the one hand, the carbohydrates first, and that was consisting of bread and orange.
All right, and we're going to take a five-second time out here for an ad that's just popped up on me. Didn't do this during my research.
Juice, and then they would wait 10 minutes, and then they would serve them the protein and fat, which was skinless chicken breast and vegetables, a salad with a vinaigrette and steamed broccoli. And what they found was that there was a very big difference in the blood glucose, not only how high the glucose would go, but also in the blood insulin levels. In fact, the peak glucose was down a stunning 54%, and the insulin area under the curve, which is that part of the insulin that your body is seeing over time, decreased by 48%. That's a huge difference considering that the two meals were exactly the same. The only difference was, were you eating the carbs first or the carbs last? And when you ate the carbs last, that seemed to make a big, big difference for these people with type 2 diabetes. That has huge implications because you might not need so much medication, for example, by making a very simple switch and eating your proteins and fats up front. This was very intriguing, and in 2018, this same group came up with this other study, and they looked at people with pre-diabetes. So not only did they show this in the type 2 diabetics, but these were in pre-diabetics who weren't on any medications. A little bit complicated, but the main comparison group here is between the carb first and the carb last group. And again, what they found was simply stunning. What you could see is that the area under the curve of the glucose, which is the total glucose that's going to be attacking your body or the body is seeing, actually was down by 38%. Again, a simply huge difference comparing them because they're the same exact foods. But not only that, but you could see how fast that blood glucose goes up when you take the carbs first. It spikes up extremely high, but then it actually drops so that it's extremely low. By 180 minutes, which is about 3 hours, you can see that the carb first has actually dipped quite low, and one person out of the 15 actually had symptoms of hypoglycemia. They're shaking, they're a little bit sweaty, and this is even though they ate the same exact meal. When you switched the order, they were fine, but if you ate the carbs first, you got this initial surge of insulin and the surge of glucose that seemed to make a huge difference, and the body was having to deal with all of this extra glucose and all of this extra insulin.
So there you go. So just switching up the timing. I mean, I found that very interesting. Like I say, lot of the stuff I talk about here, whether it's fasting or getting into ketosis, which can be difficult for some people the first couple of days, you might not feel so sporty. There's no doubt about that. So some of the things are kind of difficult, but is it possible? I mean, for anybody who, I'm going to try this just as an experiment. Right now, I'm kind of eating carbs. I'm not in ketosis. I'm just not on keto, so I'm eating some carbs. So maybe I'll just try this just to see the difference. I told you, I'm a nerd. This is a hobby to me, so I can try it. But if you are struggling with blood sugar issues, you're monitoring your glucose, maybe do this. Try this. Try eating your proteins and your fats first and then eating your carbs afterwards, testing your blood glucose and see if there isn't a dramatic difference. The number he's talking about was anywhere from 35 to 50% difference in blood glucose levels just by changing the order in which you ate things, eating the exact same meal. I'll say, ultimately, I think your goal should be to get off of a lot of these carbs that are inflammatory and play havoc with our blood sugars. But if you can't even do that, maybe this one little change might have you feeling a little bit better. So that's Dr. Jason Fung, F-U-N-G. You can find him online. He's got tons of great information out there. If not, email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I'll send you my show notes. That's all the time I got today. Have a great one. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how